The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Does your husband look at you like he used to? Do you want more attention from him? Do you want to feel irresistible again? It's time to take charge of your romance. Welcome to the Married with Romance Show. Your host is Emily Ann Weber. You can make your love life more exciting and bring back that sparkle in his eye like it used to be. Now, here is your host, Emily Ann Weber.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Married with Romance Show. I am your host, Emily Ann Weber, and I thank you so much for joining me today. I really am honored that you're here and that you spend time with me. Today, my guest is Tanya Diamond, and she is from, her business is learningtantra.com. She's the creator of Modern Tantra, and she is the author of the number one international best-selling book, Beyond Sex, A Practical Guide to Extraordinary Living. Tanya, welcome, and thank you so much for being here. Did we lose Tanya?
I'm sorry. I actually stepped on my headset.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm so excited to be here.
It's just, you know, well, it's
I'm
real
very
life.
Excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, and don't worry about that because this is real life and real radio and all kinds of things happen. So you are just fine. Well, so let's jump right in. You want to? I mean, this is such an exciting topic, and I know, myself included, that when you mention the word tantra, people get a little intrigued, but maybe a little bit leery too. So would you explain exactly what tantra is?
Well, I will explain what tantra definitely is and is not so that we can help to clarify both points. First of all, tantra itself, let's just divide it up into two things. There's classical tantra, which is over 10,000 years old and hasn't been really taught to very many people since about the 3rd century, where neo-tantra was created. And neo-tantra is what most of us hear about today in the West, because then in the 60s, neo-tantra kind of became an Americanized, westernized version of neo-tantra even, and this is what we hear mostly when we think about when Sting talks about being able to make love for hours and hours, and so most people think tantra, they think sex, or they think meditation sex, or conscious sex, or
right.
Yoga. Right. So that's what most people know tantra to be. I am a classical tantra teacher, as well as a neo-tantra teacher, as well as my own version, which is modern tantra. So I think the intimidation part comes from if you do a Google search on tantra right now, you'd freak out. Most people would, because there's everything from tantrahookers.com to very bizarre, like, you know, spiritual practices that are people are like, oh, is this a cult? So definitely with the access of the web, tantra has kind of become a free-for-all. So almost anybody can call themselves a tantra teacher now. There's no, they can go take a weekend workshop or read a book. And so it's really, you know, everything from erotic massage to, you know, spiritual practice. So when you're looking at tantra and looking for tantra and looking to learn tantra, really checking out who your teacher is important.
Yes, because I loved on your website you said you don't have to take your clothes off to practice tantra.
Now,
I'm sorry, I'm going to clarify something real quick before we spend this hour talking. I say tantra, you say tantra. Is that a, you say potatoes, I say potatoes.
It's tantra. But I have found that in Canada and the South, people say tantra.
Which is where I'm from, so it's probably why I say so. I hope I don't offend you if I say tantra.
We can can roll with it any way we want in that regard. So, yes, it is very important for people to understand that, you know, if you're intrigued, you know, to me, what, well, let me just say then, you know, so Tantra is not group orgies. Tantra is not a cult. Tantra is not, you know, in line with Satan. There's, you know, these are not what it's supposed to be. Now, that doesn't mean that people aren't taking the word and doing stuff with it.
Right.
So what I bring when I bring Tantra to the world really is both the classical Tantra, which is learning about the most powerful transformation technology there is in the world, because classical Tantra is a scientific technology of harnessing energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we talk a lot about energy on this show, so I think people can understand that. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. It's very specific. It's very scientific. The tantrics were the grand experimenters of the physical body in the realm and the learning about the universe and what things are capable of. So that's classical. So Neo Tantra is a beautiful consciousness, you know, bringing consciousness to awareness and including, of course, since we're a full-bodied being, including sexuality and our sexual energy, which is amazing and awesome and unfortunately so damaged in today's society.
Well, I always think of Tantra as passion, as harnessing that sexual energy and letting it come out as passion in other areas of your life. Excuse me, like, you know, even like your painting or your day-to-day experiences can be tantric,
exactly.
Can't they?
Exactly. Well, right, because when you harness sexual energy, which is to me life force energy, and that's where kind of things got confused. Old style Tantra, when they use the word sexual energy, when it's translated, it actually means life spark, you know, life force energy,
mm-hmm.
which is that moment when the soul meets the egg, in a way. And
right.
This is what my new book is about, and we'll talk about that as we said later. But that spark of energy making an agreement to be in the physical realm in this container. So that spark doesn't have to just reside in your genitals. That can be used throughout the entire body.
Yes.
And it fuels everything you do then, just arousal and passion for life.
And isn't that just a lovely way to look at it, that if you, I mean, sexually, that would be great to harness that energy and use it for great lovemaking and passion and orgasms too, of course. But just to use that same passion and that same energy and use it for your every single day, everything you do, living would be, it would just be, as you say in your book, extraordinary to live that way. And it's a learned thing, right? I mean, it's something you can, everybody can learn.
Right. Well, you know, we all start out living that way. If you think about kids are aroused by everything.
Yes.
You know, and when I use the word aroused, I'm talking about full arousal. You know, they're
right.
aroused.
Yeah.
And all their senses are aroused about everything. They want to taste things, touch things, see things, smell things. You know, it's all just sensory input. And so we're designed to be that way, and we learn to shut it all down.
Yes, we do, don't we?
Yeah, even like being turned on, sexually aroused. We're actually designed to be sexually aroused all the time, and we learn to shut that feeling down.
Yes, yes. And sexual energy is the energy. It is the, you know, it kind of controls everything, doesn't it?
Well, you know, we are procreative beings designed to be that way, so you would understand that energy is going to be one of the biggest imperatives we have for the species, too.
Yes.
So, you know, so
yeah.
Yes, it is supposed to be an imperative force.
Well, how did you get from Neo Tantra to develop your program, which is Modern Tantra?
Well, when I was bestowed several lineages of classical Tantra by my teacher, it was then known that there was no way classical Tantra was going to survive. The fact that it had survived was only through a handful of people really left. And it wasn't going to survive much longer, because there is no place really that we can use the old traditions in the life today. I mean, you know, some of the things they did was, you know, pull out their intestines and wash them in the Ganges and put them back in. Like, we're not going to do that, right?
I don't think so.
No. And most people are not going to spend 39 days chanting over a mango wood board with, you know, powder doing this yantra. You know, this is not going to happen. So what he bade me to do was to create a process that we can use today, which is why I call it modern Tantra. And so it took me probably about 15 to 20 years to figure out, because it's quite complicated to take these very long, because, you know, these lineages had been, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 years old. And to take these practices that were so esoteric and so complicated and distill them into a palatable format that we could use today, that and still gain the energy and harness the amazement and the transformation from it. So it took quite a while to figure out how to translate, should I say, in their most purest form, while, you know, not losing as much of the power as possible.
We're busy people, and we, you know, I don't think the old ways, the old lineages would work for us as just our lifestyle and our busy people.
Yeah, because we're not going to go sit in a cave for 5 years. And, you know, this just isn't happening. So there had to be, you know, in a way, Neo-Tantra was kind of started to be created for householders. But then the focus ended up being so solely on sex that it lost the power of the other transformative properties. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it was like, so I finally created processes that get, you know, the same, when they're practiced correctly, will release the same type of power, and actually simplified them down, because I believe in what I call micro-practices.
Yes.
Which, you know, are 1 to 4 minute practices that if you do them multiple times throughout the day, end up adding into, instead of doing just an hour and then long thing and forgetting the 23 hours of unconsciousness, right?
Right. And I know, too,
partner,
I'm sorry, I'll keep
even
interrupting.
With your partner, right? You've probably taught this, or somebody's probably been on your show with you, you know, practicing micro-practices of affection and kissing and things. How much better is that going to be than saving everything up for Saturday night?
Exactly. And I think all the, even the top relationship experts, the gurus that, excuse me, are real nuts and bolts kind of people, they talk about that too. They say, you know, it's not the one-time thing. It's the what you do every day that adds up, that adds up. So one of the questions I want to ask you, and we're going to have to go take a break in just a minute, but when we come back, the question would be, what's the difference between Tantra and the Kama Sutra? Because we hear a lot about Kama Sutra, too.
Yeah.
So if we can talk about that when we come back, that would be great.
Yep.
So, okay, well, thank y'all for joining us, and we will be right back after this commercial break.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You need to live up to your full potential. You've heard that for years, but now there's a channel to help you get there. Introducing the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Our listeners have told us that they want to be motivated, hear about success stories, and positive encouragement around the clock. And we've responded to you. The Voice America Empowerment Channel is the home of the world's top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success experts. Listen to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's here at voiceamericaempowerment.com.
Get ahead in business and life. Read Getting It Done, 1,000 of the Best Kept Secrets for Success in Business and Life by John Capozzi. Learn how John, a successful Connecticut businessman, obtained 13 corporate promotions in 13 years. This book makes a fantastic gift for anyone who wants to get ahead in business. Voice America will donate a portion of every copy sold to the USO. Visit gettingitdone.com and enter promo code VA1234 at checkout to get a 10% discount. That's gettingitdone.com, promo code VA1234 for a 10% discount today.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card, offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
You're listening to The Married with Romance Show with Emily Ann Weber. If you want to call into our show with a question or comment, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to Emily at marriedwithromance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. I am here with my guest, Tanya Diamond, and her website is learningtantra.com. And we're going to talk about the difference between Tantra and the Kama Sutra. So, Tanya,
yes,
it is
indeed.
Yours.
Well, the Kama Sutra is a book of poses and, you know, it's the lovemaking manual. And it's not Tantra. It's the Kama Sutra. And so they're actually two different things, though they both hail from India.
And if you read the Kama Sutra, when you look at some of those poses, you think it is not lovemaking either, because there is no way you can get into some of those poses.
Well, you know, and interestingly enough, the point of a lot of the poses was for energy transmission. So if you think of yoga, there are certain poses in yoga that, well, used to be not modern yoga, but old-style yoga was actually a spiritual dance. And you got into poses to ready the body for energetic transmissions.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, the Kama Sutra has done these positions for energetic transmission, as well as for sensory experiences and for sometimes for actually like how is each of the body parts affected.
Yes, yes.
And you know, the big thing about the Kama Sutra that we do not address at all today is the right fit. And, you know, the
true.
Big thing about, right? The Kama Sutra was you don't put a big man with a small woman. And I'm talking genital fit here. You know, that there is a reason that certain people fit together better and that it's important.
Right.
Kind of
and you talk about that in your book a little bit, too, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I think that, so I don't know that, you know, I do know. I do know that you don't actually have to get into all these wild and crazy poses to have awesome lovemaking. So just so you know.
Good.
If you want to play around with them, that's great. If you want to see what's up, that's great. But it's not going to, you can absolutely learn to have, multi-hour long orgasms. Men can learn to separate orgasm and ejaculation and have full body orgasms. And all of that stuff that you might have heard floating around is all true and don't need those positions to do it.
Ah, well, I bet everybody's ears perked up when you said that.
Yeah. What? Well, usually then I get some woman that says to me, I don't have time to have hour-long orgasms. Oh, well, okay.
You know what? I believe I'd make time.
Right. Well, there's that, right?
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because you talk about orgasms in your book, and we talk about, you know, there is no bigger energy than sexual energy, so talk about orgasms a little bit, and maybe specifically women to begin with.
Okay.
Because, you know, orgasms for women are, you know, women want to feel connected to have orgasms and have to make love, and men want to make love to feel connected. So as a woman, how can you use Tantra to maybe intensify the energy of your orgasm and feel connected and, you know, have an hour-long orgasm?
Well, first I want to say that the way most sexual knowledge is gained today is this whole idea that the orgasm needs to be chased and had at all costs.
Yes.
Now, it is agreed that if a woman is non-orgasmic, orgasm will be the holy grail of her existence, and she'll definitely feel like there is something missing, and there is. However, the majority of women now are learning to have what I call sexual tension release orgasm, which is breath holding, intention, you know, being in their body intention, chasing that orgasm, trying to make it happen, using fantasy to make it happen, using vibrators to make it happen, doing all of these things to make it happen. In Tantra, actually, you surrender into the pleasure. But I will tell you that most women I've talked to, and I've been teaching women for like 25 years, don't even know that they are not as turned on as they could be. There are many women who can have orgasm, sexual tension release orgasm, without even being very aroused. So what I have found is that if I say to a woman, have you ever been fully engorged? And most of them look at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm not saying, you know, that your vagina is wet. I'm saying engorged, like it's blown up four times the size, right. than it normally is, right?
Right.
Most women don't even know that that's possible. They've never had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that tells me is we're not taking enough time, as you said, we're busy, 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 to actually get into and have pleasure, real arousal pleasure. Most women are starting off like at a minus 20 out of 100 when they even go to bed. So they're rushing towards this, well, I can get off this way. You know, let's call that getting off versus, you know, orgasm.
Right.
And they go for that, and then they, because I know plenty of orgasmic women who don't really enjoy sex that much, because even though they're orgasmic. So it's really not about the orgasm, it's the quality of arousal that we're really lacking.
Right. It's the journey to the orgasm.
Right, right. And even what that means is if I say to a woman, well, it could take you, if you've taught your body that it doesn't need to be aroused to get off, it could take 2 or 3 or 4 hours the first time to get aroused enough to actually just surrender into that pleasure, to be so aroused that when you even moved your thighs, you went into orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Because women don't realize that orgasm is easy if they're aroused enough.
But do the majority of women say to you, but I don't have 2 or 3 hours?
Well, that daunts them. Most women don't. Mm-hmm. Most women have a hard time receiving even 5 to 10 minutes.
Yes.
And this is complicated because, of course, as we also know, many men are not educated in how to touch a woman well.
True.
So we're kind of lost in this. And men then, and on the flip side, many women don't know how to communicate what they need because they don't even know it exists.
And so you're the one to teach them.
Right. So when I have classes and I'm starting this conversation, people are looking at me like, wow, okay. Wow. So, you know, and of course now with the internet, we have all these things like women are supposed to have this type of orgasm and that type of orgasm and this type of orgasm, and now they're ejaculating and that type and this type. And so this, you know, men want to know how to get their women to there. Women want to know how to get there faster. And there's even a book that was just written as like a while back. It was just incredibly insane. The 5-minute orgasm. How to get off in 5 minutes every time. I don't know if you saw that, but
I did.
Yeah, you're supposed to like hop on your man, fantasize about somebody else, and masturbate to orgasm while you're on him in 5 minutes, so that everybody's happy.
No. I don't think everybody be happy.
No. It's kind of crazy. So I'm probably one of the few sex teachers that even says that fantasy, like if you're having to go to fantasy to get off, and you're fantasizing about other things other than your partner when you're with them, is chasing that orgasm, and it's really a distraction from the connection that we actually want.
And you're not in the moment. You're not in the moment of what's going on.
Right, exactly. But we've been told that these are all acceptable routes to get to that. So I found that most people's arousal levels are really, really, really tanked. First of all, they're not very passionate in their lives anymore. They're too busy to be passionate in their lives. And so this affects the overall arousal, which affects the sexual arousal, which affects the quality of orgasm, which affects the quality. You can be connected without orgasm, but certainly when both of you are experiencing pleasure that far exceeds your physical container, so that you're bursting, energy is bursting out of your body, and you're actually expanding your consciousness and your body and your energy, that's a great way to be connected.
And stay connected. And stay connected. It's on a simpler term, I teach in what I do, I teach people that when they change the tone of the romance and the passion in their marriage, and they have more, it affects every relationship in their life.
Yes.
And
yes.
The same with Tantra. It affects everything.
Yes.
And we do tend to make it about the goal. You know, it's about the goal of orgasm. And if we could just change our mindset a little bit.
Yep.
Now, do you think maybe women are the ones that help change that mindset?
Well, certainly. I mean, for a man to go down the tantric path, if he wants to be a tantric sexual lover, having to learn to separate orgasm and ejaculation is a really, it's not hard to do if you have the right training. But it's going against an imperative. You know, most men are created to go from flaccid to ejaculation in 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Any time a man lasts any longer than that, we should be grateful anyway because they're really working at it. But to be able to last longer without disconnecting, without distraction, to be really present in the moment and to allow the pleasure to get bigger and bigger and bigger without having to leave the body allows the woman to feel something she's never felt before through intercourse. You know, I mean, most of the time, you know, women are said, well, it's very difficult to have. 87% of women do not have orgasm through intercourse alone.
That is an amazing statistic.
Right.
When I read that, I was amazed.
Yeah, and part of it is because of how women are built and because the clitoris has become the main event of orgasm for that sexual tension release orgasm. So if you think of sexual tension release orgasm like a man's ejaculation, that I kind of put those two in the same, where there's much deeper experiences to be had. So this ability for a man to learn to be able to last and have orgasm while he can continue to make love, and I'm not talking about the jackrabbit pounding kind of sex.
Right.
And for a woman to be able to go deeper and deeper into her pleasure instead of hold back because it's going to be over in 30 seconds if she gets excited, creates a very different dynamic in the lovemaking itself.
Yes.
So, you know, so do can a woman bring that depth to a man? Yeah, typically she's the one that starts it because she realizes there's something deeper to be had, because typically when a man ejaculates, many women don't realize it, but they feel the disconnect automatically. Like he shuts down and he's gone. And that's when we want to talk at 11 o'clock at night. Honey, he's falling asleep. We're like, honey, honey. Right.
And you hear a snore on the other side.
Right. And then the man's like, I know men freak out. I work with a lot of men, too, and they freak out. And go, oh, my gosh, I have to stay awake. There's something happening here. They're falling asleep, and we give them that long gap so they fall asleep. And then we're like, he doesn't love me. Yeah.
That's where we go. That's right where we go, isn't it?
Right.
Hey, do you
and
love me anymore?
It's all about that energetic disconnect that happens.
So,
and we're looking for that intimacy, that energetic connection to come back, and it can't come back in that time, in that way.
And that intimacy is what we all really want, isn't it?
Yes, it's just, even men.
I absolutely agree that men want it too. It almost sounds like that this the tantra and the intimacy that you create. That sounds like the stuff that the romance novels are made of, you know, that you want. That's why we read them. We want that connection and that almost like a when the woman just kind of feels connected and intimate and safe, and then she really just wants to surrender, you know, to her man. So,
well, you know, but do remember that, like I tell men, I go, men, you should always read romance novels, and for one reason, so that you understand that really why that woman is swooning and having an orgasm before he even touches her is because there was 150 pages of buildup.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely,
and so
yes.
But women need to understand this very, very core fundamental about men. Okay, and this is a tidbit you want to take with you and learn. And it's very easily said in a story. I once asked a man that I was my lover if he would touch me longer. Now, that seems, you know, most women are like, okay, all right, that's pretty bold, you know. Will you touch me longer?
Mm-hmm.
So he did. He went from 2 minutes to 3 minutes. Right.
That's
funny.
I see
you all laugh about this, because now for him, as a man, he needed specifics. He did. When I said to him, well, that's great, thank you, that was longer. Twice as long, or, you know, another half the time, right? Or half the time. But you know, I said, but I was actually speaking about longer. And so he's looking at me like, what, until my hand hurts? Which is so funny. And I'm like, well, we could start there.
And you're going to get a big payoff at the end, so this will be good for you, too.
So now most women would be crushed under these statements. They would just, like, you know, pull away and just not like, oh, because this is the problem with being, you know, a woman is, we need to ask for what we want, but when we ask for what we want, then we wonder if he really wants to do that.
Right.
And if he doesn't really want to do that, then we can't really enjoy it. So we get into our heads and get all this story going on. Men need specifics.
Yes.
They really do.
And we need to make it easy for them.
Right.
We need
how to set everybody up for success.
Right. They want to please us.
Of course. Yes. Most definitely.
I
concur. After working with men for, you know, a long time, too, I'll tell you, when I say to women, you know what, your man is the happiest, all he really wants to see is you smiling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. That's what I preach and teach also. Yep.
And so many
Tanya, we're going. So I'm sorry to interrupt. We're going to have to run, take a break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion because this is a lot of fun. So thank y'all for joining us. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Boxing, like networking, is a contact sport. The more contacts and connections you make, the greater your success. If you're a business owner, sales agent, or job seeker, it's all about the connection. If you want help in your corner, pick up a copy of Knockout Networking today by speaker and author Michael Goldberg. Michael's book will absolutely help you generate more prospects, more referrals, and more business, or more job leads, or even more social connections. Knockout Networking will help you feel more confident speaking with people you don't know. Determine who your target market is, the best way to introduce yourself at business meetings, how to deliver an elevator pitch, follow-up, and how to generate more leads. Social media isn't always the answer, but Knockout Networking is. Visit KnockoutNetworking.com to pick up your copy of Michael Goldberg's book, Knockout Networking. Remember, nothing happens in business without a connection, so make the right connections. Visit KnockoutNetworking.com today.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Listening to The Married with Romance Show with Emily Ann Weber. If you want to call into our show with a question or comment, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to emily@marriedwithromance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Tanya Diamond is with me today, and we're talking about Tantra and orgasms, and I saw and heard all your little ears pick up when we said that word. So let's talk some more about orgasms, Tantra. That's Tanya. I got Tantra on the brain.
How perfect is that?
Yeah. Because I know people want to hear about this because we have men and women listeners. And I think one of the takeaways, if you will, from our last segment that I would love for men to hear, and you tell me what you think about this, is because I have men say to me a lot, they worry about how many orgasms they give their woman. And I don't think to a woman that's the goal.
No.
And so I would hope that I want men to hear it's not about how many, it's not even about the orgasm, it's about the quality of it. It's about the, I think all you fellas ought to contact Tanya and learn how to give your wife an hour orgasm.
Well, so here's the deal. And this is, you know, this is going to be a little disheartening, but let me, you know, finish the thought and you'll get it. So I teach, here's going to take some pressure off the men. First of all, men don't give women orgasms. Women surrender to the pleasure men are giving them. And this is a
nice distinction.
Okay?
Nice.
So, yeah, because most men are laboring under this job of giving a woman an orgasm. And most women are expecting the man to give them an orgasm. And so when we approach sex like that, we really are starting off on the wrong foot.
Well, yes, you've got pressure on the man, but when you put it in the woman's hands, you're also empowering her.
Right. And so it doesn't mean, well, then we're giving it to the woman to get to the orgasm by any means possible either. What we're doing is we're empowering a couple to explore pleasure and surrender. And I'm talking about both. And when now, there's a difference between submission, which is giving away your power,
right,
and surrender, which is stepping into it.
Yes.
So for both parties to feel the most pleasure, right now men are running in a pleasure deficit as well. They don't realize that. But really, gentlemen, if, you know, even if you last, the average lasting intercourse time for a man is anywhere between, you know, 3 and 7 minutes. And trust me when I say that you are really selling yourself short in how much pleasure you can actually have in your body. So for both men and women, making love, let's bring it back to making love, because there's sex, and you know what, I don't want to take away anything from anybody. I love great sports sex, too. And what I mean by sports sex is, you know, grab somebody and bang them against the couch and whatever. That's lots of fun, and making love should have a lot of texture to it.
Yes.
However, it's going to get super boring if the only thing people do is everybody figures out how to get her off, and then he gets to get his off, and then check that box, and we're done. Because even if you're doing that 3 times a week, which is way more than the average couple is actually doing it, then it's boring. It gets boring.
And that's the number one thing women say to me.
Yep.
They're bored.
Of course. Even for the man. Men have said to me, I know it's crazy if I say this, but sex is boring. Mm-hmm. If I know how to get her off, and she knows how to get me off, and that's all we do, what's the point? So even the men have stepped up to say that can be boring.
Yes.
So now, this isn't, now most people then go to the, oh, well, we need to add toys, or we need to add role-playing, we need to add more people, we need to add. Tantra is the art of subtlety. So really, in Tantra, we are getting more aware and more aware. We're not creating bigger and bigger, we're creating less and less to feel more and more.
It goes from a physical orgasm to a spiritual kind of experience.
Well, you know, when men hear that, they roll their eyes a lot of the time. Like,
I know.
You know, like, oh my God.
As soon as I said that, I regretted it.
Yeah, sitting, chanting, and oming while we, and no, that's not what I'm talking about either.
No.
I mean, you can do that. Ritual sex is lots of awesome too. But what I'm talking about here is really the idea of that both people are not allowing for the infinite amount of pleasure that they can be feeling in their body. I mean, contemplate this. What happens if you're sitting across from each other, you're eye-gazing, and men, yes, you'll love that too at some point, and you melt into each other, and the exploration you have with each other is about the present, not a performance. Because most people are in performance mode, which takes away pleasure without really realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the now, and you know, maybe she's crying, and he's okay because he can handle it because he understands that she's just having emotions, and she's moving. The more emotions she has, the more surrendered she becomes, the more he can start to feel her energy. She can feel his excitement. The feeding back and forth of the arousal skyrockets. You know, if you're now at a 20, now you're in a, you know, 1,000 in what you're able to feel. If he's able to have orgasms without ejaculation, he's orgasming, she's orgasming, he's orgasming, she's orgasming. You can only imagine even an hour of what that would be, the breaking open these ideas and feelings and containers that typical people have around sex. This is not boring.
No.
There is nothing boring about that. And this is not complicated because it's not about performing. When you read a book that says, get her off every time, throw it away, because you're talking about a performance and a technique. And I have been, and I'll tell you right here, I have been with some of the best technical performers on the planet. And I'm going to say it. And I remember, I'll tell you a very, very open, vulnerable story here. So I'm laying there one day, and I'm getting all this technical stuff done, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, now he's going to go for 3 on that side. Now we're going 1. I know the routine. And I'm thinking, are you kidding? Finally, I said, hey, excuse me. I tapped him on the head. You know, can we do something else? So please understand.
That's funny.
It's not the performance.
No.
The performance will leave her cold. The orgasm itself, if it's just getting off, if it's just sexual tension release, will not create the connection and will not create satisfying sex.
No. And for men, you could do that too, yourself.
Right. And for men, too, I'm really telling you that, you know, a lot of people use orgasm for medication for stress relief. If you're doing that because we're harried and we're busy and you're like, oh, my God, I'm so stressed, I'm just going to, you know, ejaculate here and now I feel better and she's going to have her sexual tension release orgasm and now she feels better and you both just crash out, that's not a way to connect.
No.
That's a way to disconnect.
No, that's not. No intimacy.
Right, and then women feel used because they feel that. They actually feel the energetic experience of that.
Yes.
So if you want your woman to make love more, that's not the way to do it.
Absolutely. No, that's not the way to do it. And you would like her to want to make love more. Because most women say to me, oh, God, you know, we got to do it again. All he wants to do is have sex. Because it's just not. It's not that they don't love their husbands. And they would like to make love more. But they want more. They ask the question like you said. Is that all there is? There's
got to
be more.
Yeah. 58% of women would rather go shopping than have sex. Hear this very clearly. It's not because they don't want to have sex. It's they don't want to have the sex they're having.
Exactly. Exactly. They want a different kind of sex.
Yeah. Right. And this is all of our responsibility. So men come to me and say, oh, my gosh, Tanya, you know, there's just one more thing I'm not doing right. And I love men. I so adore men.
I do,
absolutely
too.
And I really want to empower them as well. But, you know, this is not because you're not doing something right. You're not supposed to be able to pull this out of the air. Everybody needs training. If it's beyond procreative sex, we need training. We need to understand how this works. And I'll tell you right now, internet pornography is not your training.
I would think not. Talk about that a little bit. We've got a couple minutes before the break, but talk about what does porn do to your marriage and your sex life?
Now, people are going to go crazy because there's porn, which is your grandfather's porn, right, where you had to go to get a magazine or a video. Internet porn is a different animal. Internet porn raises dopamine levels way higher than they were ever meant to be raised in sex. It's addictive. Yes, it is addictive. I'm saying that, even against a lot of people who say that everybody should do it. Internet porn specifically is a problem. And it's a problem because it raises the dopamine levels so high that it creates dissatisfaction with regular sex.
Yes, because you can't measure up to that.
Well, you can't measure up to those dopamine levels, just don't get created the same way. And then with the way porn is very misogynistic today, plenty of men that I work with say, wow, when I finally stopped using porn, I started loving women again.
Wow.
So it creates and especially for younger men, if you're a man over 40 that looks at porn every once in a while, you're not going to be worried about it. But today our youth are being raised, 9 years old is the average age boys start watching porn. And
oh my goodness.
It's a huge, huge problem. And I've watched the decline of relationships and men and sexuality. Now more young men, 25, 30-year-olds with erectile dysfunction problems all over the place because of porn.
Mm-hmm.
Delayed ejaculation response, porn. So here's the deal. If you want to know if you have a problem, it's very easy. Take the 30-day I'm not a porn addict challenge. Now, if I say that and you obviously went to defense and you started freaking out, you got a problem.
You got a problem.
Sorry. If you have to white knuckle it to get to day 31, there's an issue. But the good news is you can move past that, and you really want to because it's not helping. You know, divorce lawyers are now saying that 70% of divorces, there's internet porn being cited as an issue. This is a huge societal issue. You know, so I don't want anybody feeling shame or guilt. I want you to, you know, realize that it's a problem and it's not your fault because, you know, it's like we think that looking at pornography is okay, and yet internet porn is a very different animal. It's a completely different breed of problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I also say that even with fantasy for women, you know, reading romance novels, some women are so addicted to the romance novel, they are not giving the same energy and intimacy to their partner. So, anytime we take that energy away from our partner, we're taking the intent away from our partner, we're fulfilling it somewhere else, it doesn't really create the romance and bond we want.
Because I think there's a... I know women that they read romance novels nonstop, and there's, you know, not necessarily anything, you know, wrong with romance novels, but like you said, it takes the energy away from their mate. But there's also, I think, a balance that you know, if you read a romance novel every now and then, and just because it adds a little excitement to you, like, well, sure. You said, you know, you get fellas to read romance novels because it's the 150 pages leading up to the seduction.
Right. Well, it's the intent, is it? If you read them and you're always disappointed in your mate because you read them and he doesn't measure up to that, there's a problem.
There's a problem.
So if you're looking at porn and you're disappointed in your partner because they don't do that, look like that, or whatever, there's a problem.
Yes.
You know, even more than the addiction of internet porn that I'm talking about, but I'm just talking about regular, or if you're out looking, if you're a man, you know, they always say men are visual. Well, first of all, women are actually more visual than men. And if you look at nature, you'll see that. Which are the most flashy species in the animal world? Males. You know why? Because they have to visually attract the females.
Attract the females.
So the same is true for us. It's just that we've given men this kind of, you know, leeway that of the looking. And looking is fine. We are all sexual beings. It's great to be turned on. However, if you're constantly looking away from your partner and measuring and comparing, and she's always falling short, you're going to bring that dissatisfaction to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same way a woman who gets involved in an intimate emotional affair with somebody else that's not her spouse takes that away from her partner.
Yes. So it's a lot of it is intent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is what do we do with our energy and our thoughts even. We talked about in the break, we said that 40, and talking about marriages here,
40 million.
There are 40 million sexless couples in the U.S. And that, to me, is a mind-blowing, a mind-blowing statistic.
Yeah.
And why do you think that is? I know it's not just one contributing factor, but I'm sure porn's part of it.
Well, basically, you know,
boredom.
What's happened is, you know, lack of education, lack of true sexual education and what makes people happy. And we've also, you know, the pill, birth control pill, has contributed to a lot of this, because when a woman is on the birth control pill, she changes her hormones and she is now attracted to her tribe mate and brother instead of her lover. So what that means is that the pill mimics pregnancy, and when women are pregnant, they are smell-wise drawn to tribe and brother and safety. So if you're dating and you're on the pill and you meet a man, you're going to be attracted right then to your tribe mate and brother. So after you guys are together, you've been married, you get off the pill because you've had your children, and you start saying that you can't stand the way he smells.
I have heard women say that, yes.
Yep, and that's what happened.
Is wow.
Basically, you've picked a non-sexual compatible partner.
Because my husband, Charlie, and I, we talk all the time about why there. Obviously, we know couples or know of couples or assume that couples we know sometimes are or see out in the world are not having sex, and we always question, why would they stop having sex? What would cause that? What would cause a man to not want to have sex anymore? So,
when men stop wanting to have sex with their partners, there's typically two issues that have come up. Either A, she's gained a lot of weight and he's not attracted to her, and nobody wants to talk about that because it seems so horrid. Or two, he's using internet porn.
Ah.
So, or three, she's a nag.
And that's a big one.
Women can emasculate men by constantly driving them down, 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 and micromanaging and being in control. If a woman is more masculinized than her man, she's going to lose the sexual polarity in the relationship.
Yes, because what the number one thing men say that I hear is, I can't do it anything right. I can't do it good enough, and that includes making love.
Yep.
And so I just quit.
Yeah.
And you can't blame them. You can't blame them because they move, even making love, they can't do it right.
Right, and that's when women step into mother role instead of wife role.
How do you explain that?
Well, women, because we're created to be mothers. And we see potential in everything, you know, that's one of our strengths and problems, is that when we get dissatisfied with our man or we're scared, we step into a more mother or masculine role, either one of those two things. Mm-hmm. When we step into the mother role and we start treating our men like children by giving them to-do lists and managing everything and feeling like we can't let them do anything because they never do anything right,
right,
then we become their mother. And let me tell you, most men do not want to have sex with their mother.
They do not. They do not.
Or, yeah, they become our child. We treat them like that. They become it. The more we treat them like that, the more they become it, and everybody gets resentful and angry. Or
exactly.
The woman is too masculine. She's stepped in and not trusting her man to be the man, like, and not, you know, when I say be the man, it means like he's competent to run his life.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts
mm-hmm.
making all the decisions for all the thing, and she becomes the man of the relationship. Then he steps down even more, and now he's feminized, and now she's
yes.
disappointed because he's not being the man in the bedroom, but she's taken those keys away.
Exactly, and she's given, and she should be receiving from her man, and he doesn't want to give to her anymore.
Right. So, and I believe there needs to be a balance, because I'm a very strong woman. I used to fly helicopters. When I mean strong, I mean not only physically, but also mentally, energetically. So fly helicopters, scuba dive all over the world, do all sorts of very strong things, but I also know how to do the dance. And I believe both
yes.
partners should be balanced in masculine and feminine.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Be able to dance back and forth. And I think that we've lost that art form, and that's another thing that we need to be some training on.
Yeah. That's funny. On that website, the little tagline says, romance is the music to the dance of your life, because it is a dance. Marriage is
yes.
a dance.
Yes.
And it's always going back and forth. So, Tanya, what if you had to say one thing, what would be the most important thing that a person could do that would be maybe an easy kind of easier thing to do or a mindful thing to do to become this wonderful, fabulous lover, man or woman?
Well, the first thing I think is the gratitude. I think practicing gratitude, and when I say practicing gratitude, I don't mean saying, yeah, I'm grateful for my partner.
Right.
Practicing
that's
gratitude
a little,
actually.
That's a little lifeless.
Yeah, practicing gratitude has to actually have an emotional response behind it to really create change. But so practicing gratitude, meaning that you're actually looking for reasons to be happy in your relationship. So that's changing perspective. Most people are looking for reasons to be unhappy.
Yes.
And number two,
as Abraham Lincoln says, most folks are about as happy as they make up their mind to be.
Exactly. And that doesn't mean put on a fake smile. That means look for the reasons to be happy. Number two is actually to help each other be successful in the relationship.
Oh, nice.
And what does that mean? Well, that means that if I need a hug, that I go to I don't expect my partner to read my mind. I go over and I either snuggle myself into him to get a hug, or if he's busy, I ask if, you know, I'd like to get a hug sometime today. I'm setting him up to be successful to give me what it is I want.
Yes, make it easy for each other to make each other happy.
Yes,
it doesn't have to be
wow,
so
can you imagine? Just those two, I mean, really, if you were to do that, if you were to decide to let go, first of all, also living in the present, letting go of resentment. You cannot continue to hang on. If you're in a really bad relationship and your partner doesn't want to get help, whether it's a man or a woman, you know, either insist on the help or it's time to exit. Don't be a martyr, you know.
Right.
And I don't believe in leaving relationships, but it's like a lot of women martyr themselves.
Yes, I say that. I don't believe in leaving relationships, but... And there is a but.
There is a but.
And
sometimes we pick the wrong relationship. Sometimes we're in a relationship where the other party is abusive and they're not going to change. But really, so if you're in a relationship that each person is willing to grow, and women inspire men to grow, by the way. Men don't just grow because they're not really made
right.
to grow like we are.
Right.
But you can't bitch them into growing. You can inspire them into it.
Yes.
And
Tanya,
to it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that this hour is over already.
Yeah.
But Michael is saying we've got 2 minutes, or else they're just going to cut us off and we'll just be talking away. But I wanted to make sure that I told you thank you so much for being here. And tell everybody, please visit Tanya at her website at learningtantra.com. Get her book, Beyond Sex, A Practical Guide to Extraordinary Living. And what's the new one? We didn't even get to talk about it. What's
Riding
the new book? You'll have to come back.
Yep, Riding the Phoenix is coming soon, and I'm happy to come back. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I would love that. So Tanya has a quote. She says, I took this from her book, being a leader in your life, you are a source of inspiration to those people around you, and you become a healer to others as well as yourself. And Tanya, my dear, you are an inspiration, and I just thank you for your work and thank you for what you do and for being here today.
Thank you.
So I've got 1 minute. And I was going to read a quote, which is quite appropriate. Since what we were talking about is by Dr. John Gottman, Seven Principles of Making a Marriage Work. Real life romance is kept alive each time you let your spouse know that he or she is valued during the grind of your everyday life. And isn't that the truth? So thank you all so much for being here today. Thank you again, Tanya. Thank you, Michael, my engineer, who once again kept me out of trouble. And I will see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening this week. Emily Ann Weber will be back with some more tips and tricks to put the sizzle back in your love life on next week's edition of the Married with Romance Show. Be here next Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Until then, why don't you try some of what you've heard with your man?